All right, well, we like to start things off with people that we know that are from the Nerdalogs, and our good friend Bill is here tonight from out east. So everyone, welcome the emeritus member, Bill Kenkel.
Yay!
Hello, everybody. It's been a long
time. Hi! Yeah. It's been a damn long time since I've done one of these. And I came up with this on the walk over here, so lower expectations accordingly. I think I want to talk about my personal interests, which are, in rank order significance, science, my family, and World War II. This all goes back to my grandfather, who instilled in me like sort of a love of weird old shit and slightly autistic obsession with military history. He was somehow a high school dropout who ended up working on the NASA project to put people on the moon alongside like Wernher von Braun and other like captured Nazi rocket scientists, which I really still respect, even when he can't figure out his email presently. So in my high school bedroom, I remember for no discernible reason having a poster on the wall for like old World War II propaganda that said, it was a picture of a drowning man and it said, "Someone talked," which is a reference. Yeah, because that's a cool thing to like wake up to every morning. Or to like put out on your streets during wartime to inspire people, like, "Whoa, hey guys, like drowning people, like your sons and husbands." World War II. So that was a reference, of course, to another propaganda poster, the famous like "Loose lips sink ships." So fast forward, I have like followed in some footsteps, and I've ended up in research in biological science, which I talk incessantly about. So sorry, but I really like to talk about like the science, the culture, and society around science, and the state of things right now. And so as just a need to scratch a creative itch, for a while back I was doodling at conferences because I was bored, and I ended up drawing a series of like World War II style propaganda posters for science, and one of them was "Loose lips sink manuscripts, don't share preliminary data." And I liked it. I got to draw my little drowning guy. Or no, it was like a postdoc like slumped over a table and like it was a thing. So I drew these posters and I put them online for like other scientists to see, and they were like, "Well, that's kind of harsh. Like, don't share preliminary data." I was like, "Yeah, you got the job. The joke. That JPEG. Like, congratulations." And what, like, the point of it was is, like, to emphasize this sort of, like, wartime mentality that we have. And I don't know if you guys, like, sort of know this right now, but, like, it sucks being in science. Fucking stay away. It's just, I get these undergrads in the lab, and they're, like, all bright-eyed and, like, bushy-tailed. And I'm like, "So what are you guys going to do?" No, you're not. And I feel like a super downer, but I feel like I need to like share with them like what was not shared with me, which is just how like difficult the funding situation is, which is like says all sorts of weird fucked up shit about our society, that like we have gone 40 years without putting a man on the moon just cause. I wish just for like a TED thing, and I could like put one of those like incredibly depressing graphs about like NIH funding. Did I hear an O? Yeah. Do you know the graph? Yeah! Shit is dismal, y'all. I feel like if I were like the Sultan's mathematician and I saw the Mongol horde at the gate, I'd be like, "Guys, don't go into algebra. Like, study boiling oil. Study something we are going to need, because science as we know it is like, it's going to take a little hiatus for a second here, okay?" So, where was I going with World War II? Shit, they took something like 2% of the entire nation's energy supply to fund the Manhattan Project. And then that same guy, this dude, this fucking killer dude, Vannevar Bush. We read his Wikipedia article, because he is just like bow-tied up 20th century science incarnate. He spearheaded the Manhattan Project, and then he started the NSF, the National Science Foundation, and he, along the way, came up with the Memex, which was basically a smartphone in 1940. He was like, this would be a really good idea. You guys should invent that. Like, you've got about 50 years. Go. So I've been trying desperately to, like, to instill in people, like, a fine edge of optimism. Like, science is the future, and, like, we're going to need it. But, like, shit is really bad, and you should get a job where you can put food on the table. My little sister is getting her degree in theoretical mathematics. And I said, Jennifer, what's the difference between a large pepperoni pizza and a theoretical mathematician? She goes, oh, she's thinking about it. She's like, I don't know. And I was like, well, the pizza can feed a family of four. So she's having doubts now, so... Pretty proud, I guess. There's this like, great NPR series like this past week about like the pyramid scheme of science, and, like how people are dropping out of research and closing down labs and all this shit because of how just like institutionally unsound the whole fucking system is, and how terrible funding is for Republicans because this horrible graph that you know. And all my colleagues were just like, oh, this news, I don't want to deal with it. And I was like, no, guys, this is good. Like, we know this. We know this horrible fucking graph. But, like, now it is getting out there. And there's a possibility that things could change as this message permeates out into the world. So I like to hear the bad news now. So I want to at least impart that sort of optimism. Like, yeah, things are bad. But at least now we know how bad they are. So hopefully, this is the low point, and not the beginning of a second Dark Ages. But, you know, invest in blacksmithing nonetheless. and hopefully, with enough anonymous drones, like grad students and undergrad researchers and postdocs, we will trudge through this like hordes of Russian peasants on the Eastern Front.
Okay, cool, everybody. Oh, we miss you, Bill.